desperately wanted that had been stolen from her grasp. The darkness in him whispered, "Run and catch her. Show her what a real prisoner of yours would be like." Staring down at the phone, he put it up to his ear, listening to the voicemail.
"The moment I yelled, 'fucking freak,' through the lunchroom, I regretted it, and I've done nothing but wish I could take those words back ever since."
Amo's voice seemed to break toward the end before he steadied it once more.
"If I scared you by telling you I love you, I'm sorry. I'm so fucking sorry for everything, Chloe."
Luca squeezed the phone in his hand, making the screen crack. Chapter 7. Hey, darling. 7 months ago. When a black BMW appeared on his surveillance camera, Luca had to do a double take to see if he was imagining it. By the time he watched her walk into the house, he realized that she was very much here. It worked. He had hoped Chloe might come to make sure Elle was okay after the attack. Something told him she would. It had been a long shot to get her here, and an even longer one to get a moment alone with her. But I had to try. Luca needed her to know he existed. He wanted to see her face when she looked at him for the first time. He constantly imagined how their first encounter would go, and now he was closer than ever to living it. Taking advantage of the microphone placed on the cameras, he turned the volume up to eavesdrop. More importantly, to hear her voice, which he hadn't heard since she had looked at the music box in the shop. When she finally spoke, it was just how he remembered, soft and unsure. "Who the fuck did this to her?" Realizing she stuttered out of fear and not because of a speech impediment infuriated him. At the same time, it broke a piece inside of him to see someone had broken a piece of her. He continued to watch her every move, having to switch between cameras when they went into a different room. Seeing Chloe inside the house he grew up in only amplified his feelings for her. He began to lose track of time from just watching her. That scary part deep down inside of him seemed to be satiated simply by watching her. Lost in an almost trance, he barely noticed her eyeing the back door over and over again. Something inside Luca felt like this was it. Go. When that word popped into his head, he saw Chloe whisper something over to Elle. Then his heart started to pump slowly and steadily as he watched Chloe get up and head toward the big double doors. This was it. This was his time. His moment was here. Fuck, what am I? Nervous? Going out a different back door than she had used, he tried his best to keep his feet light through the little bit of dusted snowfall. He had to be as careful as possible not to let Elle get a glimpse of him, or worse, scare Chloe away before he even got a chance with her. Luca knew he was going to scare her regardless, but he didn't want her too scared to let their first encounter be of her running away screaming. She could think he was scary, but he needed a few minutes with her so she could see something else in him. What a girl like Chloe was going to see, he didn't know. Going around a corner, he saw her sitting perfectly still on the bench in the middle of the lighted gazebo, making him stop in his tracks. Never had Luca thought anything like love or soulmates existed, yet now he was sure of it. All his nervousness seemed to slip away as he looked at Chloe. Finding his purpose, he took a deep breath. Waiting until the perfect moment to let her know of his presence, he stalked toward her, caging her in like an animal. "Hey, darling." Luca had anticipated her wanting to run, but she didn't. Instead, He watched her jump at his voice, then freeze. Something about that didn't sit right with him. Yet he continued on up the steps. I didn't mean to scare you. Chloe still didn't move a muscle. Leaning against a pillar to block her exit, he took in her appearance. This was the closest he had been to her. Her black dress and tights hugged her body, but her pale, scarred face was what stood out against her black hair, giving him a perfect view of her scars. Finally, looking deeply into her eyes, he wished he could say the word out loud. Beautiful. It was almost like she could hear his thoughts as her eyes dashed to her lap, and she began wringing her hands. I'm Nero's brother, Luca. I would shake your hand, but you wouldn't shake it anyway. He wanted her to know he had been listening to their conversations. Chloe's eyes darted back up for a second, then back down. It was obvious she was silently wondering how he knew that. I overheard that you're apparently germophobic. He hoped he had emphasized apparently just enough to gain her understanding that he didn't buy it. He had watched her for a week now, not seeing any signs of her caring what she touched, not showing any traits of a real germaphobe. The only thing he saw was that she didn't like human contact. He could see the slight panic behind her eyes when she looked up at him again, which seemed to increase when she realized she was trapped. Luca had, in fact, finally caught her. Now he was going to enjoy it and see how far he could press his prey. He slowly reached into his back pocket, watching her hold her breath, not knowing what he was going to pull out. When his pack of cigarettes came out, he could see the relief on her face as she was able to breathe again. Pulling out a stick and holding it with his lips, he put the pack back in his pocket, then reached in his front pocket. Seeing her give the same reaction, and then relief again when it was just his Zippo. She's scared of everything, isn't she? Flicking his Zippo open with the flick of his wrist, he lit the end of his cigarette until it flamed a bright red from his inhale. You don't mind, do you? Staring at him, she somehow managed to shake her head. Luca had felt the eyes of women on him at even a very young age, and knew when they found him attractive. However, as he tried his best to focus on smoking his cigarette, feeling her eyes on him, he realized Chloe wasn't fawning over him like most women did. He could see it in her face that she was simply taking a long look, almost studying him, like he intrigued her. This is good. Now he was going to step it up a notch. He made his voice drop an octave as he said, Aren't you a little cold out here, darling? Chloe didn't look comfortable with him calling her that in that deep tone of voice. My name is Chloe. Really fucking good. Luca couldn't help smiling as he put his cigarette to his lips again, inhaling. Speaking as he exhaled, the smoke escaped more with each passing word. The mayor's daughter, right? A light nod gave him the answer he already knew. Luca kept his eyes pierced into hers as he flicked his ashes into the snow, not wanting to miss her expression when he spoke his next words. You were in that car wreck a few years back. I remember reading about it in the papers. Is that how you tell everyone you got those scars? That is how I got them. She swallowed, quickly looking back down at her hands. Do people actually believe this bullshit? No, it's not. I know a knife cut when I see one. Glimpsing back up at him, he could see she had no idea how he knew. I don't know what you're talking about. Because you're the worst fucking liar I've ever seen, darling. Flicking his whole cigarette into the yard, he stared deeply into her gray depths, letting her know she wasn't fooling him, nor was she ever going to fool him. Yeah, you do. She quickly stood up and took a step forward, clearly stating she wanted to leave and end this conversation.
You're gonna have to come closer than that, darling.
And boy, did he hope she would. He wanted to see her up close, so close that he could reach out and claim her already. When Luca didn't move from the exit, she ever so slightly inched closer to give him another hint.
A little bit closer,
his body was taut, every muscle frozen. Another small step forward.
I could claim you right now if I wanted, darling.
The deep, dark part in his mind whispered,
do it.
Chloe's eyes sparked a bit in fear at the small distance between them now.
Will you let me through?
The break in her throat showed him how frightened she was. He could also hear her heels clicking against the wood from her shaking legs.
Fuck.
Luca reached into his pocket again, going for his pack of cigarettes. His darkness was making him lose control, and he needed to keep himself busy. His eyes didn't move from hers as he flicked the lighter open again before lighting his cigarette. He then expertly exhaled, wanting the smoke to caress her body and face like he couldn't. Chloe didn't seem to mind, still staring at his silver Zippo that he had already flicked closed. Taking notice of her interest in his lighter, he flicked it open again, letting the flame shine a bright red. He saw it then, the shine in her own eyes from staring into the flame. He'd had that same look when his father used this same lighter to light his cigars when he was a kid.
I will if you tell me how old you are.
He kept his voice melodic, hoping he could hypnotize her with it and the flame as he slowly began to weave the Zippo between his fingers, watching her eyes dance along with the movements. Luca needed her to willingly engage with him before he let her go.
17, you?
The words seemed to slip through her mouth.
You?
Shockingly, she had asked him to reciprocate, letting him know she cared enough to ask. The look on her face told him she was just as shocked.
26.
With that, Luca moved to the side, giving her barely enough room to pass. Watching her gingerly turn her body to the side, he held his breath as she did. Both their eyes not moving from one another's, both seeming slightly afraid he might move even just an inch. This was the closest he was probably going to see her beautifully cracked porcelain face for a long time, and he wanted nothing more than to freeze time at the exact moment she stood perfectly in front of him. He could practically hear the screams from her light gray eyes, pleading for him to save her. They took his breath away and almost brought him to his knees. When Chloe finally passed, she began to walk as fast as she could back to the safety of the house, and every movement she made away from him felt like torture. He was letting the most beautiful creature slip through his fingers, and even though the dark part inside of him begged him not to let her go, knowing she belonged to him, he knew he had to, even if it killed him. He couldn't cage her in, at least not yet.
You can't run from the truth forever, darling,
Luca warned, making her only run faster and farther away from him. That single moment, when he had looked down at her, hadn't been long enough for him to save her, but it was all he was going to get.
Save me, Luca.
Those gray eyes haunted him.
I'm going to save you, darling. You just have to wait for me. You're not ready for me yet.
Chapter 8. The Nightmares That Reaped Her Soul. Taking a deep breath, he stood, putting the phone back in his pocket. That single crack on the screen reminded him of the scars that graced Chloe's face. Drago, can you please reheat and take Chloe's meal upstairs to her? Drago nodded. Being nice never worked for Luca for the simple fact that he was never nice. Being hard on Chloe, though, was something he wasn't capable of. Craving a cigarette and some time to think alone, Luca went to the only place where he somehow found peace. That quick knock on the door, followed by it being thrown open, had Chloe wanting to scream for her life. For that split second, she knew it was only a matter of time before Luca took what he wanted. Then Drago appeared, bringing in a tray that held a glass of water and her untouched plate of food that was now steaming. Watching him set the tray on the bed, she couldn't believe it. She was grateful after being told she would starve if she didn't leave the room.
Thank you, Drago.
His demeanor seemed to be just as sour as before as he nodded toward the window.
Don't thank me. Thank Luca.
What?
She jumped from the bed, then walked toward the window as she heard the door slam shut behind him. She pulled back the curtain, seeing Luca sitting in the lighted gazebo, smoking his cigarette. From this far away, he looked almost beautiful to her in an obscure way. Yes, he had always frightened her, and had made her fear for her life from the moment she had met him. But she couldn't deny the small part about him that appealed to her. She would swear she could almost hear him calling to her at times. His cigarette's flame grew brighter when he inhaled deeply, causing lights and shadows to dance over his handsome features. Luca seemed to be deep in thought, a look that suited him, making her wonder what thoughts weaved through his mind. He was hauntingly beautiful. Chloe quickly dropped the curtain, shaking and stumbling back. That single thought coursed true fear through her unlike anything before. For someone who feared everything, she never feared herself. Until now. The door opening was what broke his slumber, but it was the screams that forced him awake. He ran right past Drago, knowing he had come to wake him up to follow the screams. His heart began to pound violently. Then it broke into tiny pieces from the audible pain in the cries. It was unlike anything he had ever heard. The screams only grew louder the closer he got to her room, and when he opened the door, the sight he came upon almost brought him to his knees. Luca had always thought himself invincible in many ways, but the shrills that escaped her and the shaking that racked her body proved him otherwise. He was afraid and was being ripped apart and torn into. He wanted desperately to wake her up by holding her close, to forever erase the nightmares that reaped her soul. No matter how much he wanted that, though, the other part of him knew he couldn't. It knew she was far from being able to accept the touch he craved to give. Chloe, his voice came out in a broken whisper. Please wake up, darling. She was breaking his heart, and if her nightmare lasted much longer, he was going to break. Taking a step closer, his voice began to rise with each cry of her name. Chloe. Chloe! Chloe! The blood that trickled down her face burned into her skin. She knew even then she would never forget the feeling when her tears met the blood to scorch paths of bloody tears down her face.
Please, just kill.
It was hard for her to whisper her plea through her hoarse voice, but she had to try, hoping for mercy. The maniac began to laugh while he caressed the edge of the blade over her skin. Little girl, this is only the beginning. Closing her eyes, another tear fell, mixing with the hot blood. Mercy wasn't going to be given tonight, leaving her with one final hope. To be saved. Her eyes slowly opened at the repetition of words. Chloe, wake up and everything will be okay. Fully opening her eyes to the dark room, she saw a shadowy Luca a step away with a glow surrounding him from the hallway light. The fear of her nightmare remained, having awoken only to see her other captor. Luca could sense the fear she exuded toward him now, but he remained calm, telling her, "See, everything's okay, I promise you. I'm not gonna hurt you." Chloe relaxed into the mattress. His voice was soft yet strong, somehow making her feel safe, something she had never felt upon awakening from a nightmare. She also knew he meant his promise just by the way he had said the words. Luca took a step closer to her. That wasn't just a nightmare, was it? Wrapping herself tighter in the blanket, she solemnly shook her head. There was no point in denying it. One look in Luca's eyes told her he could see the truth. Go back to sleep, darling. She thought his hand was going to reach out before he quickly disappeared into the dark room. It wasn't until he spoke again that she realized he had gone to sit in the chair in the corner. I'm here. It must have been the complete non-existent sleep she had gotten since being here, but her eyes slowly drifted away and into the night. Right here, Chloe. It took Luca an hour before he unclenched his fists and relaxed back into the chair. It had taken all he had not to hold her, not to touch her to make sure she was all right. Being able to watch her sleep showed him how haunted she was by her past, even in dreams. This had been the last straw. He had waited long enough. Tomorrow, his and Chloe's life would change, colliding together into one. One thing was for sure. Those had been far from nightmares. They were memories. Chapter 9. I'd hate to have to punish you, darling. It took everything Chloe had to walk down the steps after last night. Elle had been the only other one to witness her nightmares besides her parents. With each person to see it, it was like the curtain had been pulled back, showing her true self, the damaged goods she was. The fact that it was Luca who had seen it meant he was going to have a part of her now. A deep, dark, locked away part of herself she was never going to get back. Her father, her mother, her best friend. They all were a major part of her life, and now she had this overwhelming feeling like Luca would be too. Like our lives have now intertwined. What she found strange about it was how kind he had been. Even stranger was how much she appreciated it. Scanning the downstairs, she looked for any sign of Luca, but when there was none, she figured he had already left for work. Seeing the laptop on the coffee table reminded her of why she had braved coming down in the first place. Chloe sat down on the couch and grabbed the laptop, booting it up. Several things popped up, including detailed instructions of her classes and how to submit her coursework. Someone had already taken the time to set up her account and must have written out the instructions since it didn't appear to come from the school. Did Luca do this? Logging into her school account, that was when it hit her that she was hooked up to the internet. She could get help. She quickly tried to go to her email, but the site said blocked. She then tried to go to her other email site, but it was blocked too. Then she realized she had a new school email for Stanford. Signing into that email, it worked. She quickly tried to type in Elle's email into the sender box, only for it to backspace and disappear. She tried again, for it to disappear once more.
What the?
She looked around the house to make sure no one was near. Now she put in one of her professor's emails, and in the subject line, she typed out, "Help me, I've been kidnapped." The laptop was shut and taken from her grasp. Her eyes slowly drifted up to see Luca's big frame standing over her.
I
would be very careful not to lie to me, darling.
The intimidating man took a seat on the coffee table in front of her, intruding on her space. He put his elbows on his knees to intrude even more, getting close to her face. Even though he was hunched over, he was still taller than her. Chloe tried to make herself as small as possible, pushing herself back into the couch to get any space she could between them.
How did you know?
Your computer is strictly for your coursework. You will find most sites will be blocked to you, such as social media. However, you will still be able to research anything you might need just fine. The only site that's available to interact on is for your coursework, like your Stanford email. Now, if you type in, let's say, Elle's email address or the words "help me," it will automatically notify the man who programmed the computer. He then is able to override your computer and gives me a call to tell me that you're not being a good girl.
Oh,
Chloe bit her lip.
Who is he?
Luca smiled.
A friend.
Luca. Drago. Friend.
That meant at least three people knew she was here. Honestly, she was shocked he would even call someone a friend. It didn't seem like Luca had any friends. Not even he and Drago acted like friends. When she noticed him still smiling as she continued to bite her bottom lip, she quickly stopped and looked down at her wringing hands.
I'm trying to be nice to you, Chloe, by letting you do your courses online. In order to do that, you have to be able to contact your professors and turn in your work. What happens if my friend is busy when you decide to say, "Help me" again?
Luca rose up off his knees, making himself sit straight up, intimidating her even more.
I'm not sure if I can trust you yet. I'd hate to have to punish you, darling.
I thought you said you wouldn't hurt me.
I wouldn't ever hurt you, but...
His eyes turned the cold shade of blue.
I wouldn't be opposed to hurting someone you care about.
Chloe's eyes widened.
Elle, you wouldn't touch her. She's Nero's girlfriend.
Luca leaned forward, putting his elbows on his knees once more, leaning in even closer to her. Her heart began to race out of her chest. His face was so close to hers, she could feel his cold breath sting her skin with each word he spoke.
You don't think I would do it.
Reaching out, he twirled a lock of her black hair around his finger, like he had done the night he had captured her.
To keep you here with me longer?
Staring into his cold eyes, she didn't have to look too deeply to see that he would.
You would,
she whispered. He let the strand slip from his fingers.
Then don't make me.
She supposed she shouldn't be shocked anymore by him, but somehow her mouth dropped to the floor. Luca stood, taking the laptop with him.
You'll get this back when I trust you again.
If his eyes weren't still the cold shade of blue, she would have thought he was hurt that she had tried to get help. However, that would be impossible. Luca wasn't capable of such feelings. She had just been fooled by his kindness from last night. But that was just an act. Chapter 10. Sold her soul to the boogeyman.
You are wanted downstairs.
Chloe had locked herself away in her room again after Luca had left her in the living room this morning. This was the time Drago usually told her dinner was ready, but today he was demanding something different. As much as she didn't want to go, his presence left her with no choice. Following him downstairs, the wonderful smell of food entered her nose, making her empty stomach growl. When they reached the dining room, she was met with the same vision as yesterday, except for some slight changes, like there was only one plate at the dinner table, and Luca was already eating his steak and mashed potatoes. "Sit with me," he ordered as Drago disappeared, leaving them alone. Chloe cautiously sat down next to him, squeezing her hands in her lap, as Luca cut deeply into his steak, carving off a small piece before eating it. Once the piece was chewed, he finally addressed her. "I want to make a deal with you, darling." Chills went up her spine. She wasn't sure anyone would come out alive from a deal with the boogeyman.
"What kind of the deal?"
An evil smile appeared on his lips.
"You will stay here with me, and if you still want, I promise to let you walk out that front door at the end of your first semester."
That's it? He won't let it be that easy.
"I have rules."
Chloe swallowed the lump in her throat, too scared to even ask what they were.
"I knew he wouldn't."
"The first one's easy, as I will also do the same for you."
He began cutting another piece of his steak.
"When I ask you a question, you must not lie."
Her brow furrowed.
"So I can ask you anything and you will tell me?"
"Yes, but only ask me if you want the truth."
She had been ready to ask him a question before his warning changed her mind. She would have to think harder about if she really wanted to know certain things about him.
What else?
"I want to spend the evenings with you. You will eat dinner with me every night, and after, I want to help you overcome."
Luca's blue-green eyes rose, holding her gaze.
"Your fear of touch."
Chloe's blood ran cold. Not wanting to take part in those plans.
Nah.
"Then you will stay here for as long as I like," he said nonchalantly, going back to eating his food.
Her nails dug into her palms. He was giving her an ultimatum. She feared if she was ever going to walk out of that door, she would have to give in.
"Is there anything else?" she whispered.
Luca looked back up at her.
"One last thing. When I ask you to do something, you will do it. But no, I will not ask anything of you I don't think you can handle."
This was it. She was signing her life away. Luca was going to take away everything she had clung to, the things she had used to survive. Chloe solemnly nodded her head. Seeing no other choice, she would be lucky if she walked out the front door alive. He raised his eyebrow.
"Deal?"
This was the moment Chloe would give her life over to Luca, in hopes that one day he would return it back to her.
"Deal."
It didn't take long for the impending doom to creep in. She could see he saw it as a game.
A game he already won.
"Are you hungry?"
he asked simply, like the conversation they'd just had didn't happen. As much as she wished she could run back up to the room, she no longer could. This was a part of the deal now.
"You will eat dinner with me every night."
"Yes,"
Using his fork, Luca picked up a piece of his steak and held it out for her, expecting her to take it with her mouth. His eyes told her this was no offer, but a demand.
I don't want to take your food. I can make a plate.
He put his hand down. Maybe I decided not to make you any. You have yet to sit here and have dinner with me. Chloe stared at him. Something in her sensed he was hurt that she hadn't sat with him and eaten one of the meals he had prepared for.
Me? I understand.
I want to spend the evenings with you. She did understand now. He had made dinner every night, and every night she hadn't joined him. Drago had warned her, told her she was playing with fire, which was exactly what she had done. Luca raised his hand once more, bringing the juicy steak close to her lips, demanding she take it. When I ask you to do something, you will do it. Slowly parting her lips, she wished she could shut her eyes, but his gaze held hers prisoner. She took the steak into her mouth and slid her lips away from the fork. It wasn't until then that he let her eyes fall to her lap as she began chewing. He smiled. I told you, Chloe, that I wouldn't ask anything of you I didn't think you could handle. She didn't expect him to set the fork back down, then get up, going to the kitchen. When he returned to the table, he set a full plate down in front of her. Somehow, in some way, he always seemed to surprise her.
Thank you.
You're welcome, darling. It was easy for Luca to eat after he sat back down, but for her it wasn't. She had just sold her soul to the boogeyman. They ate their dinner in silence, and when he took their plates to the kitchen, she hoped he would release her. However, he had other plans. She watched him go into the living room, taking a seat on the big leather chair before motioning her over. She reluctantly stood, walking toward him with her hands desperately clutched together. I want you to sit. Removing the pillow at his side, he placed it on the ground at his feet. Right here. The hand clutching turned into wringing as she grew extremely nervous. Looking over at the big sectional, she tried to get out.
Why can't I sis?
Because I want you to sit at my feet. Luca smiled. Chloe began shaking her head.
I don't think I can.
Yes, you can, darling. Seeing him lazily sit back in the chair, she figured any other woman would think he looked incredibly sexy and wouldn't have to be told twice. All she could think about, though, was how widespread his legs were, knowing his left leg might touch her. When she didn't make a move to do as he asked, his voice took a commanding tone. We made a deal, remember? I want to help you overcome your fear of touch. She was sure she would never be able to explain why she followed his commands when his voice deepened. Yet there she was, swallowing her nerves as she slowly placed herself on the pillow at his feet. She kept her back against the arm of the chair, sitting stiffly, careful not to even graze his dark jeans. Now that she was down here, Chloe was too scared to even move, too afraid to be this close to him. He frightened her to the core, making her wonder what other games he had in store for tonight. Luca turned on the big screen TV. Scrolling through the channels, he settled on an old football game. Staring at the screen, she didn't move an inch, waiting for him to move or make her do something else. Thankfully, he never did, seeming to be into the game, never even acknowledging her. When she finally relaxed into the chair, the warmth from his leg less distracting, he turned the TV off, bringing her attention back to him.
"Please let me go," she started pleading in her head.
"You may go."
Chloe quickly jumped up before the last word was said. She didn't even look back as she went straight up to her room, afraid he might change his mind. Now, in the safety of her room, she rubbed her hand over her arm that was still warm from his close body. She did this unconsciously for several minutes, rubbing it over and over, before she dropped her hand, realizing she was trying to keep the warmth in. His warmth. Chloe didn't know it yet, but the part of her that craved human touch was coming back to life, and soon she was going to meet the part of her she had buried long ago. Chapter 11. Always. Luca moved from his laid-back position to leaning forward, putting his elbows on his knees. He ran his hands roughly through his hair, thinking about how he hadn't even finished his sentence before she had disappeared. Where Chloe couldn't run fast enough from him, he had wanted the opposite. The whole time she had sat beside him on the floor, it hadn't been a test only for her, but for him as well. Luca had told her he was going to help her overcome her fear of touch. But what he hadn't told her was that he was also going to fight the darkness of claiming her too soon. He wanted to make sure he could handle her closeness. To be close to his grasp, yet not claim her, was one of the hardest things he had ever done. The twisted part of his brain had kept whispering, "Touch her, kiss her, take her." But he hadn't. He had fought his dark urges for her. He planned to get closer to her every night. He imagined it was only going to get harder, painful even, to fight the darkness when his fingers finally moved over her scars. Raising his head at the sound of footsteps, he saw Drago had come into the room. He put his head back down to run his hands through his hair.
"I don't see her handling this, you. She's too fucked up," Drago said, crossing his arms as he leaned against the far wall.
There was only one option. She will learn. Another question from Drago circled the air around him.
Is this girl really worth all this?
Luca closed his eyes for just a moment. Chloe rejected the hand that came toward her.
"So sorry. I'm germophobic. No, I'm sorry," Lake told her, holding up her hands. "If you ever need someone to talk to, I'll listen. I know what it's like to be alone."
Luca watched the exchange from a distance. He had followed Chloe outside, but Lake, one of his soldier's daughter, had followed her out as well. She must have sensed Chloe's distress, just as he had watched her during the graduation party. Before the girl turned, she left Chloe with some final words.
"You shouldn't hide your face. It's beautiful."
He didn't know what to expect from Lake when she had approached Chloe, especially after he had heard the horrors Chloe and Elle had gone through in high school, but he honestly hadn't expected that. Staring at Chloe now under the lighted gazebo, surrounded by the flowers in bloom, it took his breath away. He had been waiting for this day for months now. Keeping his distance from her and only watching her from afar was making him crazy. Not once had he been able to talk to her since that last time, but now the time had arrived. Caging her in like last time, he blocked the entrance with his frame. "Hey, darling." She looked up at him, startled. Pulling out a cigarette, he placed it between his lips, making the stick bounce as he said, "I hear you're still saying you're a germaphobe. Have you ever thought of telling the truth just once?" He lit the end with his Zippo. averting her gaze to the pressure she made in her hands. Her soft, unsure voice settled something inside of him.
It's not a lie.
Prove it then. Taking a few steps forward, he stood over her, holding out his hand. Come on, darling. Just try it once. If he still prayed, he would have in this moment. Watching her stare at the hand in front of her, he needed her desperately to just reach out and touch it. Being too focused on her face, Luca almost missed it, the slightest movement of her hand moving toward his before she stopped.
I can't.
What she had just done was a sign.
She feels it too.
Even if she was ignoring it, there was no denying there was an electrifying pull between them. His voice took a commanding tone, not wanting any more lies as he asked, Why can't you? Her eyes met his, looking up through her dark lashes as she whispered her secret.
Because I'm afraid to.
She feared touch. That was something he knew from the beginning, but getting her to admit it to him was something he needed if they were ever going to get her to overcome it one day. He needed her to begin to trust him with her secrets. He took a seat on the chair in front of her.
That wasn't so bad, darling.
Taking a hit off his cigarette, he wanted more. It's summer now, and you're still wearing long sleeves. She gave no answer. But watching her check their length and pull down the sleeves of her black dress was all he needed to know he had been right again. Not once had he seen her in short sleeves, no matter the weather, which told him she was hiding something beneath the material. Catching her eyes moving over him showed him some part of her was still intrigued by him. Wanting to intrigue her even more, he pulled out his Zippo, flipping it open. It didn't take long to charm her with the glow weaving through his fingers.
Are you going to college?
Yes, of course.
He began to weave faster. The importance of this question was something she wasn't going to be able to understand yet.
Where?
Stanford, in California.
She talked so easy when she was entranced by him. No stuttering. He shut the lighter off with a flick, having got what he needed.
That's awfully far, darling. I guess you do get to keep running.
Standing, he looked down at her again, taking in everything he could about her until the next time. It made the wait less painful. Holding her breath, she didn't move. The marks on her face had him thinking about what Lake had just told her.
She is right, you know. Those scars are beautiful.
He had dreamed of touching them every day, and he was envisioning doing it right now.
Touch her scar,
the darkness whispered. Walking away from her before he did something he would regret was him walking away from his dreams. For a moment, he had almost felt what it would be like to touch her. For a moment, he had almost felt what it would be like to be with her. It was the most blissful thing he had ever felt in his existence. Opening his eyes, there was no inkling of a doubt in his mind that
she will always be.
Chapter 12. The Freak and the Boogeyman. It was now a week since her and Luca's arrangement had been made, and she had already grown used to the schedule of living there. Her days were spent keeping herself busy with schoolwork, which was surprisingly nice as she spent them alone. Well, as alone as she could be with Drago watching her. Her fear of being there ceased, and she couldn't even admit it to herself, yet a part of her was learning to be happy. Since her scars, she had feared for her life. Not only at school, but her home, too. To be in fear almost every moment of your life for years was something she had to grow used to keep her sanity. She had almost forgotten what it was like not to feel that way.
Chloe had hoped to achieve that at Stanford, but she still feared being all alone there, surrounded by new people who would stare at her like she was a freak. That didn't happen at Lucas. She was never stared at nor treated like a freak because, here with Luca, I'm just like him. We're both monsters. The freak and the boogeyman. She didn't mind dinners with him anymore either. They were quite peaceful in each other's company, and Luca was a surprisingly good cook. If she didn't have to sit next to him every night, he wouldn't even bother her. There was only one thing she truly missed, and that was Elle. Yes, she missed Amo, Nero, and even Vincent, too, but she had never been this long without talking to her best friend, and it was starting to get to her. If Elle were here, it might not be... Pushing away the thought, she went back to the now finished assignment she had struggled with for hours. She went to submit it when a chat box appeared on her screen. They are all wrong except for number 8. Try again. What the? Chloe blinked at the screen, seeing if she was just exhausted from working on it all morning. However, the chat box was still there, proving her wrong. Luca's friend. The third person who knew she was here. Ignoring the warning, she went to submit it again when another message came through. You'll fail the assignment. Biting her lip, she hovered over the submit button, contemplating. Her answers seemed right to her, but she had struggled a lot through them. She wasn't used to math being taught over the computer, let alone calculus. She held off submitting just yet and typed into the chat box, "Can you tell me how number 1 is wrong?" The problem immediately began to work out in front of her, making her mouth drop open at how fast it was completed. Needless to say, she was wrong. Typing into the box once more, she quickly responded, "Thanks, I'll try again later," before she slammed her laptop closed. Dang it. Calculus was killing her, and it was becoming too hard for her to understand from over the computer. Accepting defeat for now, she headed downstairs for some lunch. Once there, she noticed a motion in the backyard that made her curious to look out the back door for a better view. Chloe peeked out to see Luca down in the dirt. He seemed to be... gardening?
"I see you finally decided to come down," Drago said in a gruff voice from behind her.
She quickly turned around, nervous that she had been caught staring at Luca. I came down to get something to eat."
"I'm sure you did. You don't come down for anything else."
His sour tone told her he was not being sarcastic. She looked out at the backyard again, at Luca, knowing what Drago meant. The times she had spent with him weren't of her own accord. They were just when she had to honor the deal. "He's not at work today?" The words seemed to slip out of her mouth as she watched Luca wipe sweat from his forehead onto his black shirt.
"No, it's Saturday. You would know that if you quit acting like such a prisoner."
Turning around, she looked at him in confusion. "I am a prisoner." Drago's appearance went dark as he took a step toward her.
"We both know what being a real prisoner feels like, Chloe. Tell me, how is this compared to the last time?"
He took another step toward her.
"When you dream, who is it that haunts you? Luca, or the man who gave you those scars?"
She could only stare back at the huge man, knowing all too well he spoke the truth. Leaving Chloe to her truth, he said one last thing.
"I'm sure Luca is hungry too."
Turning back, she observed her captor for a few minutes alone. "We both know what being a real prisoner feels like, Chloe." The way Drago had talked to her was like he had hinted she was here for a reason. But I am a prisoner, aren't I?
Shaking her head, she went to the fridge, deciding to make herself a sandwich. She made just one, then put all the stuff back. Now staring at her lone sandwich, her eyes drifted to the back door.
Should I?
She shook her head harder, trying to get the thought out of her mind. Grabbing her plate, she sat at the kitchen island and quickly ate her food, glancing out the window to watch him every now and then. To say the least, Chloe found it interesting that the boogeyman knew how to garden, of all things. She cleaned up after herself, then started back upstairs, but her feet stopped her when she went to look at Luca through the window one last time. A small voice she hadn't heard before whispered, "Do it." Chloe listened to the voice, making another plate. She decided he would probably be able to easily eat two, filling the bread with a bunch of meat, lettuce, and tomatoes. If he didn't like something on it, he could simply pull it off. She took the sandwiches, along with a bottle of water, to the back door. By the time she opened it, though, she realized the mistake of listening to the unknown voice. But with Luca turning to look at her, it was too late. Biting her lip nervously, she went toward him, wishing she could turn back. Then, when she reached him, she paused a moment, looking down at him. His long, unkempt black-brown hair that he kept slicked back lay messily around his handsome features. The dark jeans and black shirt he always wore were dirty, giving him an even rougher look than he usually had. She wasn't used to men who looked like him. She was used to well-dressed, well-groomed men who wore expensive clothes. He was the complete opposite. Luca waited for her to say something before giving her a smile when he realized she was taking in his appearance. "Is that for me, darling?"
"Yes. Drago said you might be hungry," she stammered, quickly moving her eyes to the plate.
"I'm guessing he made it too." His voice seemed to lose pitch, like he was disappointed.
Chloe shook her head, looking at him again.
"No, I did."
The smile was brought back to his lips as he pulled off his dirty work gloves and stood. Coming over to her, he took the plate and water from her.
"Thank you, darling."
You're welcome.
She finally released the breath she held when he turned. She found herself wishing he could be less good-looking. His combination of terrifying yet beautiful was too much for one man to have. He took a seat on the grass, patting the spot next to him.
"Come sit down with me."
He didn't say it like a command, which was strange. It was more like he was asking. Taking a deep breath, she found herself doing the opposite of what she thought she should, sitting on the grass a little over an arm's length from him and staring out at the stunning garden while he began to eat. It was different being down here with the grass and flowers, like it was even more peaceful than it usually was in the gazebo. From the moment she first stepped out here, the garden had taken her breath away, and it only continued to do so. It seemed to only grow more and more beautiful to her.
"I didn't know you gardened."
The thought that was meant to stay in her head came out in a whisper.
"I don't really. I mean, I used to with my mom, here and there when I was young, but it's more of a recent thing."
Chloe really looked around now, seeing that the garden looked better taken care of since she had first seen it months ago.